a windowless bathroom
at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. Hello, Davi Barker. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm excellent. It's really good to have you back. It seems like it's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah,
this is my triumphant return
to the interwebs or to the voice of webs. You were you're on tomorrow night too. You know, I think I'm going to do that because you and I get into such a rhythm, I guess it is, by the end of the first show that, you know, we got to keep it up 2 days in a row, I think.
We got to leave an opening at the end for a sequel.
Yeah. So we were talking during the break about the break. Yeah, the break between when you were last on a month ago and this show. We were talking during the break about ideas for game shows, and one is Win Ben Stone's Money, and one is a debate between Ben Stein and Ben Stone. Now, how would those go?
Well, I couldn't say for sure, but I'm pretty sure that Ben Stein is a pretty avowed socialist, and he's been sort of outspoken about it, but it's so long, so many years ago. He might be dead for all I know.
No. Where he got his start? He was a scriptwriter for Richard Nixon.
Wow, really?
Yep.
That surprises me immensely.
Hmm.
Maybe I'm completely wrong about
that.
I'm going
to check that. I want to have our crack socialist team.
You know, left or right doesn't really matter. He's definitely a statist.
Oh, yeah.
So it would be good to watch him debate Ben Stone, and it'd be Ben versus Ben. It would be like a Benathon.
Yeah. Yep. He was a speechwriter for Richard Nixon and Gerald Ford. So the statism runs deep in this child. That's what they said when he was born, and they slapped him, and he started cursing them about the social contract, told the doctor.
But Win Ben Stone's Money would be good too, because what made Win Ben Stein's Money good was that he sort of had this persona of being some kind of genius, which I don't think he is, but Ben Stone is a genius.
Well, and Ben Stein was also being a cheap genius. Like, the point of that, part of the joke of the title of that show was that it was like the hardest quiz show ever, and it had like the lowest prize. You know, it was like $5,000. Yeah.
$5,000 seemed like a lot of money to me at the time.
I went with an old girlfriend of mine to try out in LA. She got a tryout to signed up. She wanted to be on that show because she was really good with trivia and really smart and knew a lot of weird things. And I went with her for it, and she actually passed the like question part of it, and like less than half the people who showed up did, and she went on to the other part, but she was kind of stage fright in when they actually tried testing with cameras on, so she didn't get it. But it was a tough show, man.
Yeah, I don't know, there was also a kind of there was a hubris about it. Like, he had this arrogant persona that Ben Stone couldn't do.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know, Ben is always nice on the internet, and you know, I'm not saying like, well, I know him well and he's a total jerk, but no, he's he can have some hubris. He would be probably not the first to admit it, but he does have some hubris, but he tries to keep it in check, unlike most people who have it, like me.
You know what I did like about Ben Stein's Money was that Ben Stein was the final challenge, and I don't know if that was rigged or not, but
what do you mean?
You were asked the final challenge for the winner or whatever was to go into a soundproof room and get asked 10 questions, and then Ben Stein would go into another soundproof room and get asked the same 10 questions, and the test was whether or not you could outsmart Ben Stein. And it might have been rigged, I don't know, but you know, it looked impartial. And that would be, I think that's a really neat phenomenon, because it's like the host has his own skin in the game. It's not like he's just reading a cue card.
Yeah. And Win Ben Stone's Money would be kind of fun. If you don't know, Ben Stone is the Bad Quaker podcast, and he's one of the Freedom Fiends co-hosts. If you go to Bad Quaker, not Bad Quacker, but badquaker.com, you can discover who Ben Stone is. And he's a friend of ours. He's really smart. But if we had a show called Win Ben Stone's Money, see, Ben Stone doesn't have any money. Like, I had to do an Indiegogo campaign to help raise money to get him to Porkfest. So maybe I'd have to have an Indiegogo campaign, get Ben Stone some money so he can do the show Win Ben Stone's Money. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And I'm actually working on an Indiegogo campaign tonight while we're doing the show. And you were like, great. You know, I've never done one. You can explain to me how to do it. And I'm like, I'm not going to explain it. I'm just going to do it while you talk.
This is behind the scenes. The gears are turning.
Yeah. But we're going to get to that and other amazing things, like why the part of New York State that I grew up in has had more people per capita claim they are Jesus in the past 200 years than anywhere else except maybe Los Angeles.
Is it the chemtrails?
I don't know what it is, man. It's something in the water. But we're going to talk about what's going on outside the window. We are not, we're actually in the same room. We're usually not in the same room. But we've kind
of... You're going to disclose our location?
We've kind of been kidnapped by the government. So, and this may be... This may not be... This may, okay, here's the disclaimer, because you're not supposed to broadcast things that aren't true. Like, this is like the War of the Worlds. This is the part where we say, and this is a radio play, so we'll be...
And now, from the Lick Observatory in San Jose, California, the Freedom Fiends have been abducted by the government and are on their way to a meteor run by aliens.
To pull that off, I think you'd have to shave your beard and then wear a hat with a thing that says press in the hat.
Yeah.
Wear some old-timey radio clothes. Yeah. Yeah, so there's
a meteor shower tonight, and that's true.
That's so true.
You know, obviously there has to be.
Well,
so,
I
yeah, saw, we're it's, starting it's, Fiendgate.
It's the, the cult where we wait for the aliens to come take us away from the yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Have you studied, there's a lot of, well, let's start with that. What's the name of that religion that was, we're not going to all drink poison and we're not going to kill anybody. If we're,
we're not,
if we're inventing a fake millennial UFO cult,
it was called Heaven's Gate.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk about That's Heaven's Gate. Read a little bit about Heaven's Gate and then go from that article to the Wikipedia article. There's a link to the click on the word millennial, and then on the word millennial, read some of that article. And the bottom of that page, read and comment on the other article of people who have claimed to be Jesus.
Heavensgate.com is still live. Is this real? Do people still do this?
Check it out. Go to it. I'm setting up an Indiegogo campaign.
The meteor is gone, you know. So the Hale Bop was the name of the meteor, and this was like in the 90s. And it was these people who thought that the meteor was signaling the apocalypse or the second coming or something, and that what they had to do was commit suicide so that their souls could ascend and catch the meteor as it was going by. Which, you know, it's unverified. Maybe they made it. I don't know. But I don't think so. There was something about Nike shoes. It was important that they wear their Nike shoes and that they all wear the same tracksuit or I don't know. Family Guy made fun of it too. I don't think this is where the Kool-Aid joke comes from. That's
Jim Jones,
which isn't even Kool-Aid. He was drinking some generic brand, and Kool-Aid spent millions of dollars trying to correct that. It just didn't stick. It would still people still say drink the Kool-Aid, but
he was the founder of People's Temple. The drummer in my old band, Bomb, was before he was in Bomb, he was in a couple bands. I think one of them is on that compilation two record set from Alternative Tentacles called Not So Quiet on the Western Front. Do you remember that?
I remember All Quiet on the Western Front. Yeah. I don't remember Not So Quiet on the Western Front.
Yeah, All Quiet is a movie. Not So Quiet on the Western Front is a compilation record. It's something like 75 bands on two vinyl records. And you know, each doing like one minute song or something like that.
So Heaven's Gate,
but one of his bands was called People's Temple after the People's Temple in San Francisco, and the other was called Fifth Column. And there was later a couple other bands called Fifth Column, but Fifth Column is a pretty cool name for a band. You know what a Fifth Column is?
It's the segment of society that sympathizes with the enemy.
Well, it's us to the government. Yeah. It was during the, I think the Spanish Civil War. And I think it was.
Except there is no enemy. We're the segment in society that sympathizes with liberty, which is the ideological enemy of the state.
Yeah. Well, actually, that term was from, you know, the armies marched in four columns. And somebody talked about the fifth column being the citizens that march with them without actually marching with them. Of some revolutionary party, or I think it was anarchists during the Spanish War, and it was locally in Spain. It was a popular term, but nobody had heard it outside of Spain. But Ernest Hemingway wrote a short story about it and used that in the title. and that became, you know, kind of a meme. And now a fifth column, like I've actually heard the Free State people in New Hampshire were recently called, we're called a fifth column of anarchy or something by some local there.
That's pretty funny. So it's sort of like calling the media the fourth branch of government.
I guess it's more like, you know, I've heard that in the American Revolution, like 3% of the people actually fought in the revolution, but something like 20 or 25% of the people like supported them and gave them food and shelter and things like that. So,
that makes sense.
Our listeners are the fifth column of, you know, this massive movement, this horrible movement that wants to nonviolently, you know, free everyone and bring them liberty.
And when the time is right, you can go to Indiegogo and donate to, and you can become a member of the fifth column. You want to talk about what your project is?
No, I want to talk more about, I have to make the Indiegogo campaign, then I can look at it and really understand it. But I want you to read more about Heaven's Gate, religious groups, and then
millennialism,
and then the other ones,
the concept of Heaven's Gate is, I guess, that by committing suicide at the right time, you actually get to go to heaven. So fiends,
I thought it was more like if you committed suicide when a certain comet was passing over, you get to go on that comet to some other planet or dimension.
You get picked up by the aliens or the angels or whatever is on the, you know, Hale-Bopp meteor.
And I was starting to think about how, you know, I wonder if there's anybody who's heard me say in passing this kind of joke I have about my plan for liberty is our radio waves will get to this possibly habitable planet near Alpha Centauri, 4.3 light years away, which will be about 3 years from now, because we've been on radio for 1.3 years and it travels at the speed of light, radio waves do. So, but I was actually thinking, like, you know, wouldn't it be neat if you and I could both go outside and watch the meteor shower tonight and broadcast? And then I was thinking, wait, that's kind of, if you put those together and like shake lightly, it kind of sounds like Heaven's Gate.
Right.
Yeah. We're not violent. We're not going to kill ourselves or anyone else. Liberator's Gate. We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Hey, this is Squiskar Squig Elves from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep or sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $5
for 10 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Freedom Fiends. Nailing our demands to the door of the Church of the State.
Which happens to be the Lick Observatory tonight.
Yes, it's actually the break room in the Lick Observatory. Yeah. Hey, you got change for the candy machine here, Davi? It doesn't take Bitcoin.
No, but I hear there's a soft spot on the left side where if you just pound on it, they only tell the union workers where that soft spot is, though.
Is that a thing?
What?
Is that a thing that exists on something?
Probably.
Like, unions get free anything that's run by unions? Yeah.
All no, right. I'm sure there's no corruption in unions.
So who's Snurdly? You said something earlier. You're telling me
Snurtly is Rush Limbaugh's cat, right?
You said, because I said I was going to work at this Indiegogo campaign and not talk. And I said, you could just talk to the hamster in your brain. And you said, no, I'll just talk to Snurtly. And I guess Rush Limbaugh has a thing called Snurtly. It's an imaginary playmate that he has on the air that he talks to off mic. Because, see, the thing is, like, I can't do radio without a co-host. Like, if you lost internet, I would probably just read something until we go to the break and try to get you back, but I'd try to get someone else on or go to a pre-recorded show because I can't do it without the back and forth. But Rush Limbaugh can. But I was thinking about it, and I think Rush Limbaugh – well, yeah, but not all the time, and he does long monologues. And I think he does have a co-host. It's the voices in his head.
Yeah, and it's Snurtly.
And their name is Snurtly, apparently. Yeah. All right.
So I always thought Snurtly was a cat, but apparently Snurtly is his nickname for the audience.
That's so weird, man.
It's very strange. He'll talk to Snurtly on the air. He'll be like, "So Snurtly, what do you think of the new Obamacare proposal?" And then he'll wait for a second, and then
dude, it's the
he'll
voices.
Start talking
it's
about the Obamacare.
It's the voice in his head.
It's the voice in his head. It's Hail Bop. That's what it is. It's the transmissions.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, we were talking about millennial UFO cults, and Davi and I are up here at the Lick Observatory. It should be the Beast Lick Observatory, because I often claim that I am from, you know, my Snurdly is that I say I'm broadcasting from various locations, the windowless bunkers, and or from Airworm One, some blimp. But, you know, I often say I'm broadcasting from Beast Lick, Wyoming, which is kind of my version of like Bum F Egypt. You know, it's the middle of nowhere, Wyoming, like population six or something.
Come the mothership, we'll have them.
We'll have what?
Observatory to Beast Lick. And come the mothership. When the mothership arrives, we'll have the mothership transport the Lick Observatory to Beast Lick so that it can be the Beast Lick Observatory.
Okay. Okay. So. Why read more about Heaven's Gate and what they had planned, and how does that relate to the Fiend codec, the fiend what's the word for like an official written the
doctrine,
the Fiend's doctrine that that we're going to wait for these aliens to come take us to Lib Pear on another planet.
Oh, Lib Pear Gate. Oh, I don't understand the question. Can you rephrase it in the form of an answer?
That's funny. Do you make that up?
Yeah.
That's just now? Just now?
Just now.
Say again what you just said to me. That was great.
I said, I don't understand the question. Can you rephrase it in the form of an answer?
Okay, we've got our show title, people. I don't understand the question.
Heaven's Gate. You want to just type on the air? That's cool too.
Hey, this is a teaching hospital, man.
Yeah. So I guess Heaven's Gate saw the world as the sort of cyclical thing, and they thought that it was about. I mean, they used the word recycled, but they thought that it was about to be sort of like destroyed and then renewed in a sort of redemptive way, and so to like. To show their faith that the world was about to end, they had to end their own life. And that's why the mass suicide was necessary to get on the mothership, which was the Hale-Bopp comet.
Wow.
And, you know, that is you're testifying to the veracity of your belief if you're willing to end your life over it.
And this was a cult, but their compound wasn't some, you know, rugged rural collection of buildings out in the sticks. It was a suburban home in San Diego. Did you ever
really?
See that?
I didn't know that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. And they built bunk beds. I think that's an allusion to them in Fight Club when they start building bunk beds in the basement. Because
maybe.
Because Hale-Bopp had like it was a suburban, like, I don't know, 5-bedroom home or something, and they had like 40 people or 100 people living there or something. They had bunk beds all over the place that they built or bought. And and everybody had to wear certain sneakers, and they all drank some off brand. No, it wasn't Kool-Aid, but yeah,
they asphyxiated, I think.
Yeah, yeah, they killed themselves waiting, trying to get a ride, hitch a ride. We'll be back with more. You can hitch a ride on the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
This is the Central Scrutinizer.
I steal your labor by force through taxation.
My job is to spy on you and keep you from hearing things like the Freedom Fiends. I especially
do not want you to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to keep them drone-proof. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives.
Yeah. It's Freedom Fiends. Uh-huh. So, Dobby.
Yes.
I'm busy saving the world trying to raise $30,000 here on Indiegogo. So, you know, $20,000. Sorry, I changed it. So you go ahead and I'm going to write something into being that doesn't exist yet and fund it. While you chat about millennial alienism.
You know, that's pretty funny. Like you say, yeah, you know, I need a co-host. I can't really do it by myself the way Rush Limbaugh does. I got to bounce off of somebody. So you go and do it by yourself.
Well, I'm here to jump in if you need something.
Yeah, no,
something.
It's cool. I'm just poking fun. So I've discovered a new meaningless word. And I just got to say, man. So like there's millennialism, and this is one of the things we've been talking about. Heaven's Gate is arguably a millennial cult. And what millennialism actually
was.
Means was. Their website is still active. Somebody's been renewing the ICANN registry. So
well, what's on it?
It's still their website.
Is it still inviting people to?
Let's see if we can join. I mean, it still looks like it was made in the 90s.
It looks like an 1885 AOL homepage, or maybe 1995.
You know, with the little GIFs and the funny bullet points. This is really great. It's like going back in time.
I think I'm gonna grab this one that's like the word red alert, like scrolling at you over and over and over. I think I'm gonna use
that in the show notes.
No, put it in my Indiegogo.
And there's a dash for no reason, like red alert dash.
I think I should just copy the colors and stuff. And it's got like the giant red text and giant purple text. You know, there's some. There's a rule somewhere, like somebody's rule, somebody's name and then rule. And the rule is something to the effect of like the bigger the fonts and the brighter the colors on a website, the more likely the person who made it is insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all capital letters, the more capital letters in a paragraph, the truer it is.
Well, it's this site is still up. Requests for materials can be emailed to. Maybe
there's an address here, like
in Phoenix, Arizona.
Their address on the air. Maybe I shouldn't. But it's on their website.
I'm certainly going to Google Map it while we're talking.
Here's an address: rep@heavensgate.com.
Just
in case you want to drop them an email and ask them how their Kool-Aid is.
Man, whoever, they probably paid their web hosting for 100 years or something.
Well,
wouldn't you?
Yeah, why not?
I'm looking at the address, and it's a strip mall.
Oh.
It's a strip mall in Phoenix. It probably
is it a shoe
probably
store?
Was a mail drop or something. It's where they bought their sneakers. Yeah.
Right. So millennialism is sort of a broad category for any cult, mostly Christian, but really any cult that believes in a golden age or a paradise on earth or a, you know, in Christian eschatology, it's the idea that there will be these this 1,000 years of paradise
on
earth. Kind of like libertarians.
Well, you know, this guy, the guy who ran the Heaven's Gate cult looks kind of like Ron Paul.
Does he really?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Well, look on the Wikipedia page. His name was Doe, D-O. That's what he went by. But yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he looks kind of like
they've
Ron Paul.
They've still got the Houghton. Now, this is interesting. The favicon, that's the icon in the tab of the web browser, is the little HostGator. So this is hosted at HostGator. It must be. But that favicon comes after 1997, which means that it has changed, but the website has not.
Well,
this website is probably before favcons even existed.
No, they existed, but they probably didn't do one and were hosted on HostGator. And I recently set up a site for someone on HostGator. I've done it before, and like they used to not have a default fav icon, but now they have their little gator as the fav icon. It's favorite. But Yeah. Hmm. So what I think is, if they were smart, like, you know, if I died tomorrow, my media would be out there because there's people torrenting it. But this was before BitTorrent. So they probably had one guy they probably had their webmaster stay around and not die. You know?
I think he's still in a basement somewhere. Like, you know,
I mean, it's weird
order
because
a hard copy of our book. I kind of want a hard copy of their book. I just don't want to give them my shipping address. Yeah.
It's kinda, they might send a couple people over to your house. Hello, we'd like to speak to you.
Right. Have you heard the good news?
Yeah. Have you seen that the Jehovah's Witnesses are going around in people's houses? Nikki Darling got one of these on her door. They're putting pamphlets on people's doors all across America, like calling for a one world government.
No, but Jehovah's Witnesses do that. I've definitely got
that's what I said. I said Jehovah's booklets. Witnesses.
I'm sorry. The Baha'is do that.
Ah, okay. They're into a one world government.
It's actually scriptural for the Baha'is. They have the Book of Certitude, which is their theological document, and then they have the Book of the Law, which is their secular document, and it calls for a one world democracy where everyone speaks Esperanto.
Wait a minute, really? Did you know that Sting uses Esperanto in some songs by the Police?
No, but that's kind of cool.
When he goes, E-O, E-O.
Oh, wow. That's E-O. Esperanto? What does it mean?
Esperanto
does it mean,
hey? For Universal Brotherhood.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's a one-worldy kind of guy. You know, it's weird because the only Baha'i I know personally is like a total gun dude who, you know, he's one of these like, the UN better not try to come take my guns. You know, it's really weird that...
Well, it's the wrong world government. That's why.
Okay, so maybe...
He just has to be the right world government.
Okay.
Or maybe he's a skeptic. I'm sure there are people in the Baha'i faith who are skeptical of, you know, not every Catholic worships the Pope, you know. Yeah.
The Catholics don't worship. They're not supposed to worship the Pope.
Whatever. I don't know. Yeah. Not every Catholic obeys the Pope, or some Catholics are skeptical of the Pope. I think that's allowed.
Yeah.
And then it's not Esperanto. They just one of their criterion for a world government is a world religion or a world language.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I find that stuff kind of creepy. Like, it's bad enough if you want to go door to door and tell me about your faith. I mean, that's kind of interesting because you're kind of asking it. You're asking for me to voluntarily participate in something. But if you're going around saying one world government, it's almost like you're threatening me.
Yeah. The I don't know, man. The world has a one world government. It's English. Everybody speaks it as a second language.
Yeah, it's becoming that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the fourth most it's the fourth most common language, but it's by far the most common second language.
Yeah.
Yep.
So then the conservatives can have their borders language culture thing. At least they can have language.
Well, you know what I say to all that of, like, you know, making a law, making it mandatory, you know, having an official language. There's a great quote. I first heard it from Bill Bryson, but it might be before him. It's that the difference between a language and a dialect. He said a language is a dialect with an army.
Yeah, I like to say culture is the scar tissue of your childhood, and borders are the chalk outlines around unprosecuted mass murders.
Whoa. Did you come up with that?
No.
Wow.
I wish I had.
Really good.
But I love it. I use it all the time.
What's the first part? I got the second part, but what's the first part?
Culture is the scar tissue of your childhood.
Yeah. You know, there's something Jimi Hendrix said that I really liked. He said, children are beautiful until they get their parents' fingerprints on them.
Ooh.
Or it wasn't beautiful. What do you think? That sounds like creepy, like child molestery or what?
No, there's I mean, not like child molestery, but it does sound kind of like, I don't know, it pokes me in an uncomfortable place.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't beautiful, maybe it was like perfect or pure or something. Your children are pure until they get their parents' fingerprints on them. And yeah, these days it's not even their parents, it's like the parents just ship them off and let the state put its fingerprints on them.
Let the school do it. The lack of concentration camps handle it.
Yeah.
Where'd we leave off?
The Hale-Bopp comet. We're sitting here at Lick Observatory watching the meteor shower. Oh, there goes one. And wondering when our spaceship's going to get us here to take us off to Libpair on another planet near Alpha Centauri. Yeah.
So there's this other word, millenarianism. And that means It means containing 1,000, and it is the belief that your social movement will succeed just as soon as it reaches a critical mass.
Well,
and
that's what that libertarians happens, think.
Everything will fall into place.
All libertarians, including me, believe that, and it's kind of specious. It could be kind of specious, you know.
You know, I think every culture and society changing movement must believe that it needs a critical mass to be successful. And you know, what makes it immoral or not moral is how that critical mass is achieved. Like, is it voluntary adoption? Is it mass suicide? You know, but it's just such a terrible word. Millenarianism. Nobody ever uses this word. I think this is a fictional word. This is some guy who was working late at the Oxford Dictionary Company and he was making stuff up. That's what I think this word is.
Yeah. So, where are we in that right now? Because there's a weird, creepy place I want to go that impacts everybody in America, but I don't know if we're there yet. It's the millennial cult that's running the state.
Well, the aliens are bringing the critical mass. I've seen the movies. As soon as the meteors go by, there will be like that. You know, they're just bringing their votes. That's how they intend to take over.
That's how they vote. Yeah.
Okay. It's like, have you ever read, there's a story or, you know, it's presented as fact, but it's conspiracy that Bitcoin is the first wave of an alien invasion.
I've heard that. I have heard that. Yeah.
So, yeah, the idea is you get everyone hooked on this monetary system that is based on a majority consensus process. And then when the aliens show up, they just bring more processing power and take over the whole planet.
Oh, man. Did you bring that up before? That's I've heard that.
I think I have. I like it. It's one of my favorite sort of Bitcoin conspiracy theories. You know, because there's the reptile aliens that need our gold, right? And so they sent us Bitcoin so that we would give up our gold.
How's gold selling these days?
I don't sell gold. I don't know. I haven't bought gold in a while either. That's a little unusual. I think that Bitcoin is depressing the price of precious metals.
I think it is. I really think
and
it is.
And people think that's crazy, but you know, I know a lot of people who didn't buy precious metals because they bought Bitcoin, and that's the way an aggregate spot price works. So, you know, it may just be a drop in the bucket, but it's a drop.
Let's go really quickly through that list of cat icon, the cats doing Bitcoin stuff. You sent cat gifts every Bitcoin fanatic can relate to. We'll do a couple of these. You sent me this thing.
You got it handy?
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Watching the price fluctuate rapidly.
Is this an example of visual comedy that doesn't work on radio?
Yeah, probably. See, I do radio in such a way that it's like, it's not really like radio. It's like I'm talking to my buddy Davi. Like when we were getting ready for the show, like we're 2 minutes late, you know, we're supposed to connect to the network by the top of the hour to go live at 6 minutes after.
Too busy talking to do a talk radio
show. Yeah, like we're too busy talking to do a talk radio show. That'd be another alternate title for this episode. Yeah. Okay, we'll be back after this trip to the market.
Worms.
Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends. And I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges.
This is Davi Barker from shinybadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at shinybadges.com, write worms in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
This is the Freedom Fiends, and we are coming to you. This is the Freedom Fiends, and we are coming to you from the meteor shower. Can you hear me, Davi?
Live from the meteor shower, flying 100,000 miles above the Earth's surface, it's the Freedom Fiends.
Yes. Oh, sure. Yes.
Yes, we are coming.
And now, here's God with the weather.
This is the Freedom Fiends from the Heaven's Gate Hail Bop Meteor, taking you to Limpair as soon as we reach critical mass and wait 1,000 years.
All right, enough of that. Okay, so what's going on there, Dobby? What's really going on?
I'm reading about Rusis Rushduni and asking myself whether or not Rush Limbaugh is named after this guy.
No, no,
no.
But this
is
guy,
he named after Rush? Is Rush Limbaugh his real name?
I don't know. I'll get our crack socialist research team on that.
Giving you your fair share of misinformation.
is that our new motto?
That's the socialist crack research team.
Man, you come up with bumper stickers just and don't even notice it. But you do notice it because you make t-shirts that are bestsellers, like shiny badges don't grant extra rights and things like that. You got quoted. Well, no, they got quoted. Did you see the thing of Bill O'Reilly condemning cop block?
I did. It was fabulous.
It was awesome. Freedom Fiends broke that story because we went on the air like 4 hours after that. We were the first of all the Liberty podcasts and radio shows to get to break that one. And I was pretty pleased about that. It's the first time we've broken anything. I was always mad that Free Talk Live got to break everything because they're 7 days a week. That's why we went 7 days a week, so I can scoop them on stories.
Yeah.
His name is Rush Hudson Limbaugh III. There's three of them.
There you go.
All right. So Rusis Rushduni. So he's the brother-in-law of a famous guy, a guy who writes for Lou Rockwell. You know who I'm talking about? Gary North.
I know who Lou Rockwell is.
Gary North.
I know who Gary North is.
This is Gary North's. Gary North is married to this guy's daughter. And Gary North is the same branch of Christian millennialism called Christian Reconstructionism that this guy is. And it's Gary North's an odd duck to me because he was one of my paths to liberty. Like I read the first time I ever heard the aggression principle explained, you know, the way that governments operate, yeah. the gun to the head, the opposite of the non-aggression principle. The first time I heard it explained was in one of his books. It was one of his books on finance written in the 80s. And he's so solid on money, or at least he was until Bitcoin came around. Like he was, you know, he's probably a millionaire. He gives people advice on investing and has since the 80s. And he's so solid on economics and politics, and so not solid on social matters. I mean, he's one of these, like, you know, if you break any of the commandments of the first five books of the Old Testament, you should be stoned to death. He's of that kind of ilk of Christianity.
Wow.
Yeah. And so is Rusis Rushduni. So read a little bit about him.
So he's a Republican. Is that what you're saying?
Well, the thing is,
he's fiscally Christian, liberal, socially conservative.
Yeah. Yeah. Christian, Christian Reconstructionism, is really no, he's actually fiscally conservative and socially.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And socially like, Genghis Khan or something, man. or you know, those. I'm not going to compare him to, like, you know, the Taliban or anything, but put it this way, these guys want laws enacted to, like, have capital punishment for things that, you know, good Christians and Muslims and Jews probably do every day, and probably I've done things today that would probably get a stone in these guys' world. So the thing is, this is a really tiny group of Americans. But it's incredibly, I noticed when I first read about these guys, I was like, man, this is really influential on the Christian right. Like, this is who, you know, Michelle Bachmann is kind of like invoking when she talks. And then I read this article where it says there's very few of them, but they're very influential on the American right. And
there you go.
Yeah. We'll have more on Rusis Rushduni when we get back.
It's one of the best names. Rushduni.
Yeah.
It's like Houdini.
Yeah. I think Gary North was an advisor to Reagan, maybe. Maybe that's where it got in. Nah. He was an advisor to somebody, though. When we get back, I'll have raised $20,000.
Worms.
Worms.
This is
Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, Michael Dean, Freedom Fiends. And if you're one of those listeners who thinks that, those talk radio listeners that thinks that Rush Limbaugh is the devil, there are people that think that. There are, you know, there are talk show people who are left-leaning or just don't like something about, I don't know, my generation and older. But there are people who think that Rush Limbaugh is like the devil and has too much control on the American right wing. But you know what? He doesn't really have as much control. You know, it's really the men behind the scene, the men behind the curtains that usually have more control. Kind of like how in Hollywood, like everybody wants to be, you know, like the big actor, but really you don't want to be the big actor. You want to be the big producer no one ever is ever heard of. Cause that's the guy.
Yeah. Cause the big actor gets old and can't get a job anymore.
Yeah. And also like the big producer has more money and the big producer also has more power. Like the big producer is the guy who can call up the big actor and say, come over to my house and dance for me, dance for my pleasure, you know, or like audition for me. You know, that's the guy.
Doesn't Rush Limbaugh say something like intelligence on loan from God or something like that as part of his opening statement?
Yeah, I'm
I
really,
would think that would offend right wingers. Maybe they're
I'm really aware. No, George Bush said he had like a mandate from God to be president, but I'm really wary of anybody who says God told him to do something because I don't know, a lot of crazy people say that and violent people, but the only time it's ever acceptable to me is in the movie the Blues Brothers. We're on a mission from God.
On a mission from God.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. But no, the man behind the curtain is another Rush. It's Rosas Rush Dooney. So talk about him. Where's he
from? Hey, Michael, did you know that Rush Dooney believed that interracial marriage should be illegal, and he referred to it as unequal yoking?
Whoa.
This is in the criticisms list.
Is all this stuff true? I mean, I guess it's past the vetting of Wikipedia, but who knows? I mean,
this is a quote from his book, Patience with God, Faith for People Who Don't Like Religion or Atheism.
Wow.
ISBN number and everything.
It's got an ISBN number. It must be true.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Well, tell me more about this person, the other Rush, the Rush behind the curtain.
The lesser known Rush.
The Rush behind the curtain.
I don't know. He was homeschooled. He has a, you know, yearbook photo on here that kind of looks Soviet.
Soviet?
I don't know. Like, he has that look of someone who could kill a million people with a pen stroke.
Man.
I don't know. What do you want to say about him? I don't know that much about him. He seems like he's a prolific author. He's written like 50 books. These books are influential to various other sort of thinkers and political science people.
Yeah, who's he influenced?
Who's he influenced?
Yeah.
Like by name? I don't know. It says evangelical Christian right.
Yeah.
Let's go down here and see. Well, there's the Christian Reconstruction thing is his main claim to fame. And where there are no names. He didn't influence anybody. He was the founder of the Chalcedon Foundation and the editor of its monthly magazine, the Chalcedon Report. He also published the Journal for Christian Reconstruction, and he is a board member of the Rutherford Institute. Do you know much about the Rutherford Institute?
No, it sounds Soviet.
Just because of the name Rutherford?
I don't know. No, just Institute. The Anything Institute. You know, the Rand Corporation.
The Mises Institute.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
I'm against institutes.
I'm against institutes for sure. So I'm into individuals, man, and this one kind of scares me. So he has an influence on like you know, most of the really bat poop crazy stuff that comes out of like, oh, who are those ladies? Who's that lady congresswoman? That lady congresswoman, Michelle Bachmann.
I think there's more than one.
Michelle Bachmann. Now, who's that lady that served like half a term as governor of Alaska. Palin, Sarah Palin.
Sarah Palin.
Yeah, like those people all are, they're either like having tea with this guy or heavily influenced by him, like one or two people away from him. But
here we go. He said that Southern slavery was, quote, benevolent, and, quote, some people are just natural slaves.
Man. So what do you know about Calvinism? This is an offshoot of Calvinism.
I don't really know much about Calvinism. My impression was that it was sort of a secularization of Christianity in a way.
But it was really hardcore, right?
Like a branch of like Protestantism. Because it's
yeah.
Let's see. Well, there's John Calvin, and he was sort of early American, right? So this is during the – during not during Puritanism, is it? Is it that old?
Puritanism is like the 1600s.
Yeah. So when's Calvinism? When's John Calvin
okay,
alive?
Let's not wander this on air. Let's keep on with this guy.
with Rushdoony.
Yeah.
So he's from New York. He was born in 1916. He's been married quite a bit.
He believes that in a reinstatement of the Mosaic laws, penal sanctions, is that the laws of Moses? Mosaic,
Mosaic, yeah, that would be the Old Testament stuff.
Under so such like, a system, the list of civil crimes that carried a death sentence would include homosexuality, adultery, incest, lying about one's virginity, bestiality, witchcraft, idolatry, or apostasy. What is that? Apostasy?
Apostasy means leaving Christianity or leaving whatever religion is calling you an apostate.
Apotasty. Public apotasty.
That sounds like a kind of fruit roll-up.
Public blasphemy, false prophesying, kidnapping, rape, and bearing false witness.
Don't forget unequal yoking.
Unequal yoking. Yeah. Yeah, man. This is the thing in America of why you get people like, you know, all of the Fox News right wingers saying we need to stone homosexuals and things like that. Just crazy, crazy stuff that apparently or that occasionally some or other politician.
So
will
do you think there's a large percentage of the right wing population or the like evangelical or whatever voting population that really believes this and just like isn't out with it? Like this sort of has come up recently for me in these sort of recent discussions about Israel, because there's like these very, very extremely like biblical right wing policies in Israel that you don't see the right wingers in America advocating, but they do support Israel. And so I always wonder, like, do they just not know what's going on in that country, or do they support what's going on in that country? Like segregated public transit, for example. like Israel has segregated public transit. Like,
wow,
so I mean,
really?
Like, I wonder, like, do right wingers
what do they
support
say?
That?
Is it racial or is it religious?
It's Jewish and Arab, yeah.
Is that really racial though?
Oh, well, whatever it is, I don't know what it is. They're practically the same race, so I don't know what it means.
Do you think you could tell like 10 naked Jews from 10 naked Arabs?
No, I couldn't even tell one.
Do you think
you could not show me one person?
Do you think a Jew or an Arab from those countries could?
I don't know.
I mean,
I have no idea.
It seems like such a tiny difference to me. It seems kind of like English and Irish. And I know there's people who believe so strongly in the importance of those differences that they would stone me. Probably, you know, it's probably on Rushdoony's list of sins, but. Yeah, man. I mean, it's kind of like,
so like, would this guy support segregated public transit in the United States? I want to know. And if he does, do the people influence him do the right wingers who look to this guy as an ideological, whatever paragon, would they support segregated public transit? I don't know, you know? So, you know, he calls them unequal yoking. So he must regard blacks and whites as unequal or interracial marriages unequal. So I don't know. It makes me wonder, like, do they not know their own intellectual history, or do they support it secretly?
I don't know, man.
I guess that's the problem with anti-racism laws. If you're not allowed to say things in public, then we can't really ever know what you think.
Yeah. Pull up Gary North and read a little bit about him. Now, the thing is that there's been some discussion on the talk page of the Gary North one. As to whether or not everything is accurate on there, but it's all past the vetting process of the nerds that live in their mother's basement and do nothing but vet.
Now you have nicer things to say about Gary North. Like he, you know, it's still an institute, but he's an associated scholar with the Mises Institute.
And I do.
Don't you prefer Gary North? Didn't you just say, am I wrong?
Well,
what do you think of Gary North?
I think Gary North's religious and social ideas are very similar to his father-in-law's, Rosas Rushdoony. And Gary North is a mover and shaker in this offshoot of millennial Christianity that wants to, you know, return the United States to back when things were good and, you know, women shut up and black people were owned, I think. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's a little hipper than his father-in-law, but I don't know. This is an open invitation for either of those guys to come on here and put it on record. I've emailed him before, Gary North, several times and asked to interview him, and he's never written me back. So he's had his chance.
Listen to this quote. Listen to this. We must use the doctrine. This is Gary North. We must use the doctrine of religious liberty to gain independence for Christian schools until we train up a generation of people who know that there is no religious neutrality, no natural law, no neutral education, and no neutral civil government. So wow. He's a millennial allialist. He believes in a critical mass of Christian schools until his new society can be formed post the revolution.
Wow. Man.
That's a crazy quote. That's an insane person.
Give me another one. Give me another one real quick.
Another quote? Let me find another one. Religious liberty is a useful tool to Christians in the present, yet it ultimately is to be denied to anyone who is not Christian once the Christians are in power. That does kind of sound Taliban to me.
Yeah. Well, you know, people have called like the Tea Party, and this guy influenced the Tea Party, and not the Ron Paul Tea Party, but the Tea Party that stole that term. And, you know, when people say the Tea Party, they've been called the American Taliban. And that's actually a kind of a running joke on that show, The Newsroom, where the main host, who's like supposed to be a moderate Republican, calls the Tea Party the American Taliban and gets in trouble for it. And, you know, his boss calls him in and he's like, you know, I got to talk to you. Did you really call the Tea Party the American Taliban on air? And he said, yes. And the Taliban resented it. Yeah. But I don't know, man. And the thing is, Gary North is considered a libertarian. I wonder if Rosas Rushdoony is. And I don't really see, you know, he's economically a libertarian, but his social platform is. Oh, yeah. Rosas Rushdoony has called himself, he's claimed Ludwig von Mises as an intellectual mentor and called himself a Christian libertarian. See, these people,
gives a bad name to both.
Yeah. It's like we were worried a month ago about like saying that, like, you know, he who cannot be named gives libertarianism a bad name. No, these guys have more fans.
There's another end of that bell curve.
Yeah, You know, he who cannot be named is not being like paraphrased in Congress. You know.
Yeah, that's true. He's being paraphrased in the basements of.
Well, Gary North is. But Gary North is isn't he a teacher at the Mises Institute?
He's a fellow or something. He's a research fellow.
Oh, he is the co-founder. He is the co-founder.
Good neighbors, no income tax, an active shooting
culture. Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolfe. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Yeah, it's Michael Bean, Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker. And Davy Barker is all upset about something he found out, that there's this guy who's a libertarian hero that isn't as cool a libertarian as we thought he was. So Davy's going to talk about it. Davy brought this to me. I had no idea, but...
Are we talking Gary North? Who are we talking about? Who am I upset about?
No, all these people.
All these people.
I'm passing the mic to you, brother, because I'm about to launch.
Yeah, I don't know who.
I'm about to launch.
Who am I upset about?
I'm about to launch my Indiegogo campaign. So I can say by the end of the show what the URL is and send people there.
Okay. You know, so I always imagined that Mises Institute was a like non-aggression principle libertarian organization. And now I'm skeptical of that. Like, it might just be an Austrian economic institute.
I really think it is. I really think it is. I mean, they have people that speak to the non-aggression principle there, but I really don't think that's the whole nut of it, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, if this Gary North guy is, you know, a associated scholar of the Ludwig von Mises Institute, or did you say he was a founder?
He's
or
taught
the founder
there.
Of something?
I know he's taught there.
So... You know, if I was running a small L libertarian or thin libertarian organization, I wouldn't invite this guy. If this guy was speaking at Porkfest, I might sit in the front row and hiss at him. you know, so like, who are these? I don't know, you know, freedom of association and all. But it makes me wonder when you put names like this on your board.
Yeah.
What you're all about, yeah, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Do you think it's funny when you get spam on your blog that is like so general that stupid people or people who just started their blog would click on it, like this one? Great post. I am actually getting ready to across this information. Is very helpful, my friend. Also, great blog here with all the valuable information. Have you keep up the good work you are doing here? You know, and it's just
says the Prince of Nigeria.
They're just trying to get me to like click on it. So
yeah,
know, they'll have like clickbacks to their
you know, the spam site. I think is really funny.
What?
Is when shinybadges.com gets advertisements from badge manufacturers and it's loaded with like, we understand how valuable police and military are and we want to make sure that you have the highest quality badges available.
I know where that happened. I'll bet you whoever makes those shiny badges for you that sent you the actual badge kit, the two badges from the El Paso police.
Yeah,
I'll
it's
bet
like seven badges.
I'll bet they sold your address to somebody.
No, I think it's just SEO. I think it's
Really?
I think it's just there are other companies who say, oh look, this person is selling badges. I'm going to send them the spam.
Huh. All right.
But I always send them a nice email that says something to the effect of, actually, I believe the opposite of all of that. And if you'd spend a moment looking at our website, you would see that we don't believe that police and military should be honored. In fact, we think they should be mocked and derided. And they never respond. It seems like they only ever email me once.
Well, I got an email one morning from an undersheriff in... What's the county that Adam Kokesh lived in Virginia? Whatever county that was.
I don't know.
And I was thinking it was like a setup or something because I was in contact with him. And this was right around the time he got arrested. And it was some cop wanting to use an image that's on the Freedom Fiend sign. It's a picture of like – it's an art exhibit of heroin bags from the 70s. Like paper, you know, glassoline envelopes with stamps of like logos on them.
Okay.
And you know, with names like Toe Tag and DOA and stuff like that, that makes you want to buy the product, literally. And this cop like wanted to use it in a PowerPoint presentation that the sheriff's office was doing about the dangers of heroin in their county and why they needed more funding for it. And I wrote him a really well-reasoned letter of why, you know, why I wasn't into that idea and why the drug war was unwinnable and they should just give up. And also pointed out that those were pictures of heroin bags from the 70s and they had nothing to do with the current war on drugs. Like, you know, this isn't going to help your officers identify whatever's being sold on a street corner where you are.
Right.
And he didn't care, you know.
Can I read you this form letter?
Sure, man.
This is the letter that I send to badge companies who sell me how much they love the police and military. I've sent out a dozen of these. I write back, I think maybe you don't understand what shinybadges.com is about. We sell parodies of military and police insignia so as to demystify the status of those insignia, because it is our firm belief that badges do not grant extra rights and do not absolve one of their moral accountability and do not deserve pride and achievement. In fact, we thoroughly understand that soldiers should largely be made to feel ashamed of their immoral actions and their willingness to follow unethical orders. We already have a manufacturer of our products that does not genuflect at the altar of paid killers. Peace and thank you, Dobby Barker.
Thank you for your service for writing that and reading it on the air. We'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Dobby. What's up, yeah. Dobby? Yeah.
Not much.
What's up, man?
I'm reading the 11 Planks of the Communist Manifesto by Elizabeth Warren.
I don't know what that is.
So Elizabeth Warren is this Congress critter who she's recently published the 11 Commandments of Progressivism.
Progressive. Just a little more progressive.
She's just a little more progressive than we are. And I think they're funny. And one of the things I think is particularly funny about them is that they're not prescriptive in any way. So they're not really commanding anything. They're sort of these nebulous promises.
Well, that's kind of how things... Anything. That's kind of how progressives especially, but all statists do things now is... They tend to not say, we're going to make this a law. They say, we have these suggestions. And then they creep into policy, which becomes law.
Well, like, imagine for a moment if, like, Moses had, like, come down from Mount Sinai and he had on his tablet, raise the minimum wage. No reference to what the minimum wage was, how high it should be, just a verb, raise. It would go up forever, right? Like, that's the only thing that could possibly happen.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to read some of these.
Yeah, people use commandments when it's not really the appropriate term. And you know, another term, too, that's way overused is proof. Like, a lot of people say that they have proof of this. And, like, proof is a really specific scientific term that is absolute. And most things that are presented as proof aren't.
Oh yeah, I mean 90% of the time it's a correlation that they're showing, and a correlation is not really proof of anything. It's maybe like evidence of a necessity for further study.
A correlation
or something.
At best, and a fallacy most of the time.
Right. So I'm going to start with number one. We, that's the royal we, as in the progressives.
The royal we.
We are not amused. The number one, we believe that Wall Street needs stronger rules and tougher enforcement, and we're willing to fight for it. So, I mean, there's no reference to what the rules are now, what the rules should be, how tough is too tough, how long you've gone tough enough, you know, again, so... I mean, it's just so nebulous. And so really what she's opening with is Wall Street, which is like the swamp monster. Like, it's just like there's a monster in the room and you're afraid. And so I'm going to give you 10 planks of a Communist Manifesto to, you know, protect you from the swamp monster.
Yeah.
Number two, we believe in science. And that means we have a responsibility to protect the earth. Now, what's interesting about that is, one does not follow from the other. It's not a, like, a responsibility to protect the Earth is not a scientific claim. It's like an ethical claim, maybe a philosophical claim, but nothing to do with science. So it's sort of, again, nebulous and weird and just sort of like appealing to a sort of, I mean, I'm assuming this is about global warming and that whole debate. But the other thing that's interesting about this is, like, let's say she's right. Let's say we have a responsibility to protect the Earth. What she's saying and but not saying is the government's going to do it. Like, it's the unspoken aggression principle.
Progressives are children. You know, they're basically children. And they believe – I mean, think about what kids say. Like, everybody should have an equal amount of money. Like, any child who doesn't have, you know, a parent like us can be taught to parrot that, and it makes sense to them. Or, like, everyone should have everything should be
do
fair.
You have enough for the whole class.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, kids don't really think about that means, well, the government's going to point guns at people and make it happen.
Right.
And you know, if you so she's not pointing out the gun in the room. She's just saying what should be. But she's a politician who controls the gun in the room. So there.
Right. I mean, it's also worth pointing out that scientifically speaking, governments are the grossest polluters on the planet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, you know, there's quite a bit of fallout from all those weapons and then things that they explode. So turning to government for environmentalism is sort of bizarre. But number three, we believe that the internet shouldn't be rigged to benefit big corporations. And that means real net neutrality.
Yeah.
And net neutrality is one of these really interesting ones that kind of gets under the tent for even like some like libertarian thinkers.
Yeah, it really like, you know, the T-shirt should be net neutrality isn't.
Is neither, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's,
you know,
neither.
I don't know.
It's not a net. No, it is a net.
it's a dragnet is what
it's
it is.
It's the net they catch you in, yeah.
You know, we ought to maybe do some reading and do a whole episode on net neutrality at some point because it really is a huge topic.
I think I've done that. I think I've done that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Do you happen to know the episode title? Just drop it in there.
Net neutrality isn't? No, I don't know it. I'm still working on my Indiegogo campaign. I can't get the image to upload. I'm all ready to launch this thing, and I can't get the image to upload.
T-minus 10.
Well, I want to do it by the end of the show.
9, 10.
Yeah. All right.
Number four. We believe that no one should work full-time and still live in poverty. This means you, Michael. And that means raising the minimum wage. Now, what's interesting about that is when you say no one, no one is like an absolute, right? Like nobody. But then that means raising the minimum wage, which means everybody is working for wages. And that's a kind of bizarre world to live in. You know, like I work full-time and I don't think that I make minimum wage. Certainly not on all the things that I do. So this sort of presumes an entire labor force that all works for wages and all works for minimum wages, which is kind of a like communist dystopia. You know, you can't promise a minimum wage to the small business owner. You can't promise a minimum wage to the entrepreneur or to the software developer, you know. And so this is really kind of just a vote grab. And again, you know, a commandment that says raise the minimum wage, right? It's like I said at the beginning, like there's no statement of what the minimum wage is now. There's no statement of what it should be. There's no statement of like, so raise as a commandment just means up forever. And I mean, that's the question with minimum wage. Like, why not just raise it to $40 an hour or $100 or $1,000 an hour, right? If they're just printing money,
yeah,
you know, why even work for your wage? Why not just give everybody $1,000 an hour as a baseline salary for breathing?
Yeah.
You know, and the reason is because it would mean hyperinflation. And it would mean that all the product prices would go up, and you would actually end up earning less than you are now, which you do. When minimum wage was first instituted, it was $1.25, and $1.25 in silver quarters, which they were at the time, is like $25 or $30 in silver now. So if we still used the silver currency, then minimum wage would have kept with inflation, and $1.25 minimum wage would be plenty now.
You're so smart. But,
you know. Yeah, you're I read smart. A lot of memes. That's, you know.
Yeah.
Number five. And this is kind of redundant, but here it is. Number five, we believe that fast food workers deserve a livable wage. And that means that when they take to the picket line, we are proud to fight alongside them.
Who's we?
her government? Obviously. No, it's the royal we. It's all of us. It's us with a capital U and a capital S.
La. Yeah.
So why is the question? You know, technically speaking, the kid running a lemonade stand is a fast food worker, right? Do they deserve a livable wage? Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
The Girl Scouts selling cookies in front of the grocery store are selling food fast, you know? Do they deserve a livable wage? When you mandate that a livable wage be given to all workers, it kind of means teenagers can't work anymore.
Yeah.
And what that means is that people who enter the workforce, once they're ready to earn a livable wage and they're an adult and they need to pay rent and pay a car payment and pay maybe a student loan, they have no work history because the teenagers were not able to work because nobody hires a teenager at a livable wage. And so now you have an entire workforce that is inexperienced and not worth a livable wage. It's like it's economic illiteracy, you know? That's what this stuff is. That's what most of these are. But you know, we'll have to ask Gary North to talk more about that. Number six, we believe that students are entitled to get an education without being crushed by debt.
Crushed.
And that's totally true.
Yeah, you can do that on the internet.
They chose to be crushed by debt is the point, right? Like they signed the dotted line. And,
please crush me, daddy government.
Right. So this is sort of a lesson in reading what you sign. I mean, that's all that is. And if that means like a gross upheaval of the education sector in this country, then that's what needs to happen. It needs to be that we begin to value people who got their education from podcasts, and we need begin to value people who got their education from Khan Academy and things like that. There's no correlation between how intelligent or how educated you are and how much you paid for your degree. I mean, fundamentally, your diploma is just the receipt you get at the end. It doesn't mean that you're smart. It doesn't mean that you're qualified. And until people get that, but that would mean an upheaval of the whole university system. And there's a lot of, you know, unions and public sector funding. And, you know, it's an entrenched institution, and that's why it isn't changing, which means the market's going to change it. And it does. If you look at the most innovative companies in the country, if you look at Google or any of these sort of like tech companies, they value actual merit. They don't necessarily value the degree on your resume. And that's what's going to get people out of debt. That's what's going to mean that people can get an education without being crushed by debt, is by abandoning the university system that is in bed with the banks that they hate. So,
wow.
You know, that's my answer to that.
I just launched my campaign, and I just tweeted it, and I haven't made a video yet, but I'm going to do that tomorrow. So it's up. If you want to go to the Freedom Fiend site, there's a big yellow and black ANCAP. Go look at it. Go to the Freedom Fiends and look at it and see what you think.
All right, freedomfiends.com. Number seven, we support the Fiend Phone.
Yeah, that's. What's a reverse progressive?
Regressive.
Yeah. Okay.
Even the word progressive, it means just like liberal. You know, the progressives in the Soviet bloc were the ANCAPs.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know this.
There's a great talk. I'll get you the link. I forget even who it's by, but if I do some creative Googling, I'm sure I can come up with it. And it's the history of the progressive movement in the Soviet bloc. And they were Rothbardian capitalists. And that's where the word comes from.
Yeah.
What am I? I think I'm doing something wrong. I'm looking at put down that unlicensed food, Freedom Fiends.
You know, I'll bet you're not looking at the same thing I'm looking at. I'll bet it hasn't fully like re-upped. Populated. Oh,
okay. Well, let's go on to number seven. We believe that after a lifetime of work, people are entitled to retire with dignity. And that means protecting Social Security, Medicare, and pensions. Now, the funny thing about that is she's talking about her own pension here.
You know, all of the things that progressives say they want through government would happen far more surely without the government.
Yeah, more efficiently, more effectively.
Everyone would have eight times as much money, and I'm not even going to cite a source on that. It's just fact.
It's just a fact. Look it up. Worms.
Worms.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
This is Michael Dean on the Freedom Fiends. And this is the last segment, the redemption in the third act, but we'll be back with more tomorrow, and I'll be paying more attention with Davi Barker. And I've launched my Indiegogo campaign, and you can, it's going to be, I'll give out the web address tomorrow because it won't populate until then, but you can go to Freedom Fiends. It'll be in the freedomfiends.com show note tonight. And show notes for the show, which will be up in an hour or so. And it's up right now on the Freedom Fiends Face Beef page and the Michael Dean Freedom Fiends Twitter. I just tweeted it. So I'm kind of astonished I haven't got any donations yet. It's been up for 4 or 5 minutes. I'm kind of disappointed.
Yeah, where are you, listeners? Wake up. I know. Pay attention.
You ever hear that televangelist, Dr. Gene Scott, the guy with the beard and he used to smoke cigars on the air, like back in the 80s.
Is that the guy from the Rocky Horror Picture Show?
No. But remember one thing he used to do was like, he would just like go on strike on TV until he got money. Like he'd say, we're not getting enough donations tonight. I'm going to just read these letters to myself and smoke this cigar until we get $2,000. And he would do it. He would like just sit there for 20 minutes until somebody donated. So maybe I'll do that for the last.
What did you say his name was? Dr. Scott?
Dr. Gene, G-E-N-E, Scott.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. In Rocky Horror, it's just Dr. Scott. He didn't have a first name.
Okay, so finish with this list of progressives and what they want.
Yeah, so I mean, it's pretty, number 8 is equal pay for equal work, which is, it's women earn 70% of men, according to some rubrics. And if you want to... Rubrics. Real math on that, go to learnliberty.com. They have a really great analysis of it, which essentially shows that if you account for things like, you know, maternity leave and things like that, then they actually do make pretty close to equal. Number 9, we believe that equal means equal. It's nice to begin with a tautology whenever you're going to make an argument. And that is true in marriage and true in the workplace and true in all of America. So all of America is equal. So in other words, she believes in unequal yoking, to use whatever that
rush language. Yeah,
which is, you know, that's fine, that's great. I completely agree. You know, it's just to be clear. I agree with most of what she's saying.
Oh, okay, you agree with her on that. Yeah, that's the point. Go ahead.
I believe in most of what she's saying. I believe in equal pay for equal work. I believe in a dignified retirement. I believe in, you know, the right to marry. I believe in all of these things. The point is at the end, the sort of unspoken, the silent T at the end of every sentence is the state, right? And that's what's unacknowledged in all of these commandments is that she wants to enforce it at the barrel of a gun, that she wants the state to solve all of these problems. It's like there's a problem and therefore government, right?
Government. Who made that up?
I don't know. Am I quoting somebody?
I like it a lot. I've heard... You know, because government or because Obama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So number 10, we believe that immigration has made this country strong and vibrant, and that means reform, which, you know, that's a half measure in my mind. I think the answer is open borders. Let the market decide who lives where.
Yeah.
Number 11, and this is the last one, we believe that corporations are not people, that women have a right to their bodies. We will overturn Hobby Lobby, and we will fight for it. We will fight for it.
I like how the name of one particular company is in these 10 commandments for all time.
Yeah. Like, imagine if Moses came down and it was like, thou shalt not steal, Carl.
You're funny, man. That is funny. Yeah, like if somebody, like, if, you know, if God had sent his prophets, like, a personal beef about some dude, like, you know, thou shalt not kill, he who cannot be named. Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, corporations are not people, but corporations are run by people, and those people are human, so they have all the same rights and responsibilities as everybody else. And, yeah, women have the right to their own bodies, just like, you know, I have the right to my own body, and I shouldn't be aggressed against to pay for your contraceptive. Like, like that's not what the Hobby Lobby dispute was about. The Hobby Lobby dispute was about socialist, you know, healthcare, so... I don't know. Go to freedomfiends.com. There's a lot of cool stuff there. And it's way cooler than these 11 commandments.
Go to shinybadgers.com. No, shinybadges.com.
Shinybadges.com.
You should have shinybadgers.com.
I should register it just
like,
to make sure.
Like you need to spend another $12 a year. How many domains do you have?
About 12.
Yeah, that's about what I have. Well, I have 13
some of them
now.
Empty. Most of them just redirect to other parts of shinybadges.com.
Yep. Well, Liberty Phoenix just... retweeted me. That's pretty cool. Thanks, dude. State speech is hate speech. Worms.
Worms.
Worms.